Professor Trainer and distinguished guests, it's a real pleasure for me to be able to welcome you to a share in the work of this Building Bridges seminar, the 11th meeting under the general title of Building Bridges since the project began just 10 years ago, and the 10th of these seminars which I've had the privilege of chairing. I want to begin simply by expressing our gratitude to King's College London, to the principal, to the Dean and the Dean's colleagues and staff, and to all those who've helped to make us so welcome here at King's. As you said, Rick, this is a place naturally equipped for the kind of dialogue that we've sought to pursue. We feel confident that the support and encouragement that you've given us will help us in our work during this week, and it's a very great pleasure to be able to have the public part of our proceedings here in this historic setting. Many have been very generous with their time and their skills in preparing for this seminar, and I want to say thank you very much to all those at King's who've helped to make that possible. And while I'm saying thank you, let me also say a public word of thanks to Georgetown University, to President DeJoyer and his colleagues for the extraordinary support that they've given over the years to this project. Since very early on in the life of this Building Bridges project, our association with Georgetown has been deeply significant in focusing and resourcing our work. That connection has become deeper and deeper over the years, and as the whole project moves into a new phase next year, Georgetown takes a still more leading role in the organization of these seminars. Jack, I want to say thank you very, very much indeed in public for the wonderful privileges that our link with Georgetown has meant. For me, it's been a great delight to be able to visit on several occasions, to get to know yourself and your colleagues so well, and to feel that we have really creative, imaginative friends there at Georgetown who share our commitments and our passions about dialogue. So thank you. There will be more to be said this evening at the reception at Lambeth about how we propose to take forward the work that we're doing and the particular kind of role that Georgetown will be playing in the future. But I might just mention at this point that the chairing and coordinating of the seminars will be passing to Father Dan Madigan of Georgetown from this point on, and you'll have a chance to see him in action during the day. Not all of you are familiar with the work of the Building Bridges seminars, so I thought I might just spend a very few minutes outlining how we got here, the sort of things that we've done, and why we think it matters in the way that it does. The initial impetus behind the seminar was, as has been hinted, the events of 9/11. In the months following that appalling catastrophe, my predecessor, Archbishop Carey, believed it necessary to draw together as many as possible of the representatives of Christianity and Islam who were willing to engage seriously with each other about mutual understanding and cooperation in a very fragile global situation. So the first relatively brief meeting was held just 10 years ago, and on the basis of that, it was thought that this ought to move to a rather more regular and perhaps rather more searching level. That is, that it should be a longer, more extended conversation, that it should be a regular conversation, that we should seek to draw together as many scholars and people of intellectual influence in the Christian and Islamic worlds as we could on an annual basis to explore themes of common interest. And so, just 9 years ago, the first extended Building Bridges seminar was held in Doha, in Qatar. And throughout the history of the seminars, we've sought to alternate our meetings between a Western academic setting, and more than once in Georgetown, and a setting more obviously in the midst of dialogue on the ground, so that we've been twice now to Qatar, we've been in Sarajevo, we've been in Southeast Asia, so it's been quite a varied pattern. Now, in the last 10 years, of course, dialogue between Christianity and Islam has become, I might almost say, fashionable. And the question is bound to arise, what's distinctive about what we do as this particular seminar? I want to note two things. The first is simply that we have not sought to make public coordinated statements. We've not sought a high public profile, because there are plenty of people who work at that level, and there are plenty of people who address the political and geopolitical issues. There are perhaps fewer groups that seek to build lasting and quite intimate relationships among themselves, and that seek to give priority to the study of each other's scriptures. So we've not sought a high public profile. We've not sought to make statements and issue communiques. We've sought understanding of a particular kind, and by keeping a very strong regular component in our meetings throughout, so that we get to know each other quite closely, we've attempted to model, I suppose you could say, a patience in dialogue that is fundamentally oriented towards getting to know one another's hearts. And that takes me to the second distinctive point, which I've already noted in passing. We've focused our attention very, very strongly on shared study, both of our sacred texts, of the Bible and the Quran, but also texts of our tradition. And to use a phrase that I've frequently used in this context, we have tried, therefore, to watch each other engaging with our own sources. It's easy enough to comment at a distance on how other people use their sources, easy enough perhaps to make a sketchy survey of other people's sources and texts and think you understand. But what actually changes things and moves us forward is watching somebody else engaging at depth with their own sacred texts and with their own tradition. So we have modeled our meetings on that principle. We engage with what we believe God has given us to engage with in holy text and in tradition. And we invite our neighbors and friends to watch us doing that and to learn a bit about how to share in that as best they can. That focus on sacred texts means that a great deal of our work together in discussion is text-based. So we've tried to avoid large generalities so that we can come back again and again to the specifics of what we believe God is saying to us in the texts that our tradition engages with. And I think that has been, all the way through, a distinctive thing about building bridges. You'll see it in action in the lectures today. The mode in which we've operated, certainly for the last 6 or 7 years, has been essentially that part of our discussion is conducted in public. That's what's happening today. We invite distinguished scholars to speak about themes and texts. We invite a larger audience to overhear that. And we, the members of the seminar, have a very strict self-denying ordinance to try not to ask too many questions and to hog the discussion afterwards, so that the wider public has an opportunity to engage with our discussion. We then go into our more private sessions, where we exchange, as I've said, our comments and our reflections on texts together and pursue that study in smaller groups. So over the next 2 days, we shall be doing that side of our work, on this occasion in Canterbury, I'm happy to say. So that's the method, the philosophy, if you like, of the Building Bridges seminars. And all of the seminars so far have issued in a publication, several of which are on sale at the back of the hall. So I'm permitted to issue a brief commercial on behalf of what has come out of previous seminars, because I believe that there is a very rich resource there of shared reflection. We've sought, as I've said, to address matters of shared interest and concern for Christians and Muslims. That is, we've sought to come at contemporary, pressing geopolitical questions, not from the point of view of headlines, but from the point of view of those concerns that are deeply rooted in our hearts as people of faith. So that over the years we've looked not only at the definitions of some of our key terms, what prophecy means, for example, in our different traditions. We've also looked at issues of poverty and justice. We've looked at questions around tradition and modernity. Last year, we had a particularly searching and, I think, enriching series of sessions on prayer in our two traditions. This year, we turn our attention to eschatology, death, resurrection, and human destiny. Both Islam and Christianity have a distinctive approach to issues around death and resurrection. They share the vocabulary of death and resurrection, the vocabulary of judgment. They share a sense of human destiny as historically shaped, shaped around the address and engagement of God the Creator and God the Redeemer. So it is to be expected that we will have something to say to one another about these questions of death and destiny. And we believe, as do, I think, all people of faith, that in a culture which is still uncharacteristically reticent, shy, you might say, of addressing questions of death and destiny, the more we talk to each other with honesty and with openness about our mortality, the better we shall contribute to the health of the society and the world around us. We are living in a culture in which, strangely, mortality is still one of the subjects least easy to discuss and think through in public. We behave and we speak as if we were not only individually immortal, but corporately or socially and politically immortal. We believe as if not only our own individual lives were somehow magically protected from hurt, ideally anyway, but as if our human environment were magically protected from hurt. The religious conviction that we are not only mortal but answerable for what we do with our mortal span is one of the things which gives us a due sense of proportion and humility in our relation not only to our own lives and aspirations but to our entire material environment. So I don't think that we are just in these few days discussing matters of a narrowly religious import, but something about the health of our human race in its environment. Well, we shall be recording our discussions this week. In due course, another volume of reflections will appear, but we are always particularly grateful for the opportunity on these occasions, not only to meet one another, but to share with a wider public something of the friendship and mutual understanding we've developed over the years. And it's with that in mind that once again I welcome all of you who are here today as participants for the public part of the seminar, in the hope that today will be a stimulus and an enrichment for those who call themselves people of faith and those who don't, that from this we may emerge with a fuller sense of our humanity and how that humanity is to be transformed by the touch of God. Thank you for being part of this seminar. I'm very happy at this point to hand over to Dan to introduce our speakers for this morning. Thank you.